Welcome to part two of our roundtable discussion on the October 2009 Bishop's Synod for Africa. For the discussion, I was joined by Bishop John Rawsthorne, who attended the synod, by Cecilia Taylor-Kamara, Senior Policy Officer from the Bishop's Conference Office for Migration and Refugee Policy, and Monsignor John Dale, National Director of the Church's official mission support agency, Missio. To kick off part two, I quoted Cardinal Turkson of Cape Coast, Ghana, who proposed, "Emerging legislations in Western countries appeared to be designed to keep Africans out." So it was on to migration, and with this in mind, I asked Cecilia Taylor-Kamara whether this was fair comment as far as the United Kingdom was concerned.
I think that's a very fair comment, because the UK government has developed a points-based system of migration. And the government's perspective of the points-based system is to manage the flow of migrants coming into the UK to work or to study. And it is aimed at better identifying and attracting the most skilled migrants, those who have the most contribution, effectively economic contribution to make to the UK. Therefore, if you're not highly skilled, then you don't stand a chance. And that naturally eliminates most people coming from Africa who may not have as high skills as people from the Western world. So there really is not an even playing ground.
Did migration come up in a great sense of detail, Bishop John?
It came up very seriously under several different headings. So if I just catch on to what you were saying then, the bishops are very concerned that migrants are being criminalised for the various ways in which they enter countries. Mm. But it came up in another way that had not occurred to me, I must confess, and that is that the North African countries, or some of them at any rate, have got a constant flow of migrants through them. Mm. And they need help to care for those migrants. Yes. And therefore there was a call for the church in the rest of Africa to help that, because the church in the North African countries, which are very Muslim, is a relatively small church and therefore needs a lot of help to care for the migrants who are going through. It came up as an issue of how do we so effect change in our own countries that people don't want to leave. That's another issue. Mm. Then the whole issue of the brain drain, which 20 years ago, 30 years ago, was a very common phrase in Britain, wasn't it? Mm. You know, our best brains were going abroad,
right,
and so on.
Yeah.
And the whole business of the brain drain of doctors and nurses flooding out of these countries when they're severely needed. So yes, it is a big issue for them, but they feel for their migrants who are risking their lives in desperation for a good life somewhere else.
Cecilia, what do you think our responsibility is as the Catholic Church in England and Wales? What do we need to say about this issue?
I think we want to make it clear to the powers that be that increasingly migration is being linked with institutions associated with enforcement and not with the labour market. Although large number of migrants are engaged in the labour market, migration offences in the past aligned with administrative offences are now being criminalised, just like the bishop has said, and associated with criminal activities. Now, some of the detention centres where people are held while they wait for their cases to be reviewed are high security prisons. I have myself visited Brooke House Detention Centre and the Tinsley Detention Centre right outside Gatwick, and that is not the place to put anybody who's waiting for you to determine whether or not they have a right to stay in the country. The church should be doing more and making it clear to the government that these are unfair practices. We cannot detain families with young children in detention centres. It is against the grain of our convictions of welcoming the stranger. That is why the Catholic Church is in the forefront of saying that we have to be a more welcoming church. We have to make migrants know that we value their contribution to this country, no matter what level they come out. We've had skilled migrants from different parts of Africa. We've had people with soft skill who are still doing jobs which Europeans born in the Western world are not willing to do. People are still recruiting in the hotel chains because they don't have workers from homegrown people.
I'd like to actually touch upon a slightly different point, but somewhat related, and that is reverse mission. The understanding, of course, that the church meets needs where they arise, and previously, of course, we sent missionaries out to Africa, but now that there's a return, isn't there, in a way? We're benefiting Monsignor Dale, aren't we?
That's right. I think there is, just to pick up on what Cecilia was saying there, you know, the positive side to the brain drain from Africa is not only that our hospitals and nursing homes are staffed, albeit with doctors from Sudan and nurses from Zimbabwe, but it means that many of those who are Catholics are now beginning to come to our Catholic churches, worship with us on a Sunday morning as very valued members of our parishes. Initially, of course, they had priests from their own countries coming to work with them as chaplaincies. However, that profile has now changed, and the priests, sisters are working not so much as ethnic chaplaincies, but as fully effective members of the local church. So, for example, in Birmingham Diocese, there are a number of parishes that are being run by the Apostles of Jesus, which is an East African-based mission order of men founded by the Comboni missionaries. There are also Evangelizing Sisters of Mary working in various parishes throughout the country. In Southwark Diocese, for example, in the south of London, and also in Clifton in the Bristol area, there are missionaries from West Africa, the missionaries of St. Paul. And these are highly committed young men who are making a very, very real difference to the way that we see our parish life.
Bishop John, do you think sometimes there's a slight difficulty in that that's clearly something reverse mission that enriches the church in England and Wales, but yet with certain immigration policies, it might not look as though we're kind of grateful for that. Is that an issue recognised by the African bishops?
I think as church, we're very grateful and very welcoming. I think as a country, we go back to the UK border agency, don't we? That makes it quite difficult on occasion to get people into the country. I think African bishops are very concerned that there are African priests to serve the diaspora of the African church. And they're very glad that that is happening. I think they're very concerned that those priests are well treated and looked after properly. So there is a little phrase that occasionally crops up, and I'm never quite sure exactly how it's meant, but it comes across to me to say our priests must be fully integrated members of the local presbyterate.
Yes.
And I would totally agree with that. That's as it should be. And I think the bishops see those priests returning to Africa with a wider experience and another vision of the church and all sorts of good gifts to bring home with them eventually.
I think that's absolutely right. And we do need priests and sisters from Africa and to a certain extent from Asia who are helping us to be an effective church and ministry in this country. However, I understand the reticence of the African bishops when we consider some of the facts and figures. That, for example, in Africa, the overall number of Catholics per priest is one priest for every 4,759 Catholics.
That's right.
In Europe, the overall in Europe, it's one priest for every 1,457 Catholics. In Great Britain, England, Wales, Scotland, it's one priest for every 915 Catholics. So we have more than five times as many priests as the whole of Africa in that sense, you know, in terms of proportion.
The thing I would add to that is that most of our priests are over the age of 50 and substantially over the age of 60.
That's true.
Theirs tend to be young.
That's right. And full of life and missionary commitment.
So I guess even if, you know, they're clearly needed in their own countries, it still enriches us to have that.
Very much so. We are the richest.
Enriches their own country.
Yeah.
That's right, on their return. Yes, absolutely. It's the 1957 document of Pius XII, of Fide Donum, you know, that they are now making their gift of faith to us, knowing that when they return to their home dioceses, the life in their diocese will be further enriched by their experience of the universal church.
And I'd like to add that that's one of the strongest points that we have when we submit applications on behalf of priests coming from overseas, that we have a declining and aging priesthood in the UK.
Cecilia, so, thank you, yes.
So this really is, I mean, as the synod is, I mean, we're talking the universal church, aren't we?
Absolutely.
How we can help one another. Yeah. It's a two-way street, isn't it?
That's right. And I think that's where I would disagree slightly with the phrase reverse mission. I think what we have to, in the more appropriate way of describing it, is the church's universal mission, in which every member has an equal share.
That's the end of part two of our three-part roundtable discussion on the October 2009 Bishop's Synod for Africa. If you're not already there, visit catholicchurch.org.uk and click on part three, the final part, to continue.